Hey friends, this week's show is brought to you by BetterHelp. BetterHelp is an online therapy platform that gives you access to mental health professionals right from the comfort of your own personal device. Texts, video calls, phone calls, whatever you need, BetterHelp can provide that. And you guys hear me all the time when I talk about that therapy is magical. It's the place where I finally was able to make sense of my past, my present, and figure out what I wanted to do with my future. And if you're someone out there who has been putting off getting a therapist for whatever reason, this is for you. BetterHelp offers access to licensed, trained, experienced, and accredited psychologists, marriage and family therapists, clinical social workers, and board licensed professional counselors who specialize in a range of issues from anxiety and depression, family matters, LGBTQ issues, stress, and so much more. Through a series of questions, BetterHelp is going to match you with a mental health professional who will be there for you every single step of the way as you move from where you are to where you want to be. And as someone who's a huge advocate for mental health issues, I know that not everyone has access to it. So you'll be happy to know that BetterHelp has rates that are typically more affordable than the out-of-pocket costs of many traditional therapists. So if it sounds like something you need, I encourage you, go check it out today. Click the link in the show notes and give online therapy a try right now. Trust me, your mind, body, and spirit will thank you. Shout out to BetterHelp for helping making this podcast possible. Okay, moving on. A Tiny Revolution features adults having adult conversations, so adult language is probably going to be present, just so you know. Hey friends, you're listening to A Tiny Revolution, a podcast about ordinary people living revolutionary lives. My name is Kevin Garcia. I'm thrilled you're here. Welcome to episode 96. We are creeping up on 100 episodes and I'm really thrilled. I have been MIA for the past few weeks because I have been busy working on a shit ton of new things, new projects, new jobs, a summer camp that I'm trying to put together by next summer, traveling for a while, Goose Festival, which was wild and fun. Building a new business, so I'll tell you about that in just a second, but it's been really, really crazy, and I've loved every single second of it. Summertime for me has been real life-giving and really clarifying about the things that I want to create, both with you and alongside you, and it's a time where I've kind of just taken control of my own creative work. So, cool thing that's happened, I launched a spiritual direction and coaching business. And what the fuck does that mean? Basically, something I've noticed in my own work for a long time is that I was already providing pastoral care and spiritual direction for people, as well as trying to like give them ideas about how to build the life they want. And I thought about to myself, like, you know, I know that I could be a really good spiritual teacher. I know that I could be a really good resource for people. So how do I do it in a way that I can actually get paid and actually sustain my life? And I actually hired a coach of my own to help me get there. So my coach, his name is Bradley Grennan. He is, he's an amazing human, but really helped me make the switch both in my mind and in my practices to help this whole thing come to life. So I already have 5 clients. I've been working with them for about a month, and the transformation I've seen in their lives is absolutely amazing. Everything from working with people on their coming out processes, where I'm working with a couple people on reconstructing their faith. I'm helping queer folks overcome shame that they're still carrying. And it's just phenomenal to see the transformation so far. So if you think that coaching, hold on one second. I think I'm gonna leave this in here. My friend just knocked on the door and brought me a slice of pizza. And so I just wanna say, if you don't have friends who bring you pizza, you should find better friends. Anyways. where was I? Yes, I was talking about life coaching and shit. So if you're somewhere out there and you're listening to this and you're somebody who has been struggling with like reconstructing your faith or overcoming shame or needing to have difficult conversations or creating boundaries for yourself or creating healthy relationships, finding new friends, like finding yourself as a queer person in the movement, finding yourself as a progressive person in a world that just isn't built for you, like whatever it is that you're struggling with, I want to be able to help you. So if you're, if that sounds like something you need, if that sounds like coaching would be the thing that could help you get unstuck, I would love to have a conversation with you. You can go to thekevingarcia.com/coaching, learn more about that, schedule a call with me, and I would love, love, love to figure out what we can do to help you live the joy-filled life that you deserve. Okay, now that I've gotten all that out of the way, I want to introduce to you my friend and spiritual soul sister, the lovely and talented and fabulous Michael Anthony. I met Michael on the internet through Instagram. I can't remember which one of us slid into whose DMs about just the kind of work that we both are doing and what we're interested in. And he's just been such a kind person to me and has like validated so many of my weird woo-woo experiences. And we come from a background that's very similar. So in this conversation, we really dive into like how our relationship with spirituality, with Jesus and God and Christianity, how it's evolved into something really beautiful. It's so cool. So a little bit about Michael Anthony. He is an intuitive reader and spiritual advisor. For as long as he can remember, he's been drawn to the very essence of spirituality and felt a tug on his heart to lead and counsel those in need. This calling has led to him becoming who he is today. While he still has roots in Abrahamic religions, his branches of spirituality have spread out, chasing the light that nourishes his soul. Since 2012, he's had the opportunity to spread his wings and really dig deeper into his gifts, first discovering exactly who and what spirit is to him, and then from there discovering how it connects with the sacred energy that betters the lives of everybody around him. He believes in spirit guides and guardian angels and many other guiding energies of the universe. And while he personally believes in the existence of these beings, many of his services and readings are always open-minded and molded to fit the practices of his clients. He doesn't preach to own beliefs or to convert anybody. Merely, he's here because he believes that everyone has a message to hear. And let me tell you what, we got some delightful and delicious and full messages here in our podcast conversation today. So please grab yourself a drink or a coffee or a tea. Grab yourself a smoke or not. Grab yourself some incense, maybe. Grab yourself some tea. What do you need to grab? Grab onto your heart. And I don't know. Grab something. Grab a friend. Grab a glass of water. And let's just dig into this delightful and delicious conversation with my friend, Michael Anthony.
My name's Michael. On the interwebs, I go by Michael Anthony. I am an intuitive reader and spiritual life coach for the last 7 years, which is crazy to say. I feel like it was just yesterday I said, oh, I just started, you know, I'm just getting my feet wet, but it's been a full like 7 years now, which is cool. And basically what that means is I do tarot and oracle card readings for people over on my website, thedivinerlife.com.
Nice.
Yeah. Aside from that, I mean, I do a million other things. I'm kind of like a jack of all trades, master of whatever I want. So, so
probably like all the rest of us millennials out here doing like 18 different side hustles because that's the economy we live in now.
Yeah, exactly. It's like if it brings in some money and if it makes me happy, then why not? Like what?
Yeah.
Why just stay in one lane?
Reasons I'm thinking about opening a fans only account, you know?
Oh, well, I mean, again, to each their own.
Jokes. I don't have the self-confidence for that at all.
Yeah. I jokingly, one time my husband and I were like talking to a group of friends about that. And they were like, wait, are you guys serious? And we're like, no. Could you imagine just like stumbling across this on the internet? So strange.
Yeah, it could be. I would probably just like do it for the laughs of it because like, I guess, like, if I could, I know, that's, like, seriously, like, I'm very much someone who craves intensity, and so it's, like, that to me sounds like something obnoxious and quite grandiose, and I'm just, like, you know what, I would do something like that, probably.
Spoken like a true Scorpio.
Truly, truly. So, you and I have connected on so many different levels, one of them being that we both came from like conservative Christian land where we didn't feel safe about how we expressed gender and how we expressed our sexuality and our connection to God. And we grew up in like the same kind of like evangelical Baptist world, you know, still loving worship, still connecting with, you know, Christian themes in some places, but also we've had our faith evolve in really, really interesting way. So I was wondering if you could talk about a little bit about like the transition of your faith, like how you started, like, you know, like we said, like in Christianity, but then like, what was like your turning point and how did you find your way into kind of a more expansive spirituality?
Ooh, that is a loaded question.
Listen, feel free to answer whatever you want or answer none of it.
Oh, no.
You can talk about anything else.
Loaded only because it's, I think that my spirituality is still evolving and transitioning. Mm. So yeah. Like, I can totally tell you where it started and how I got to where I am, but I don't think that by any means I'm done.
Oh, I don't think anybody's ever done. If y'all figure out enlightenment, call me.
Right.
Let me know.
If you figure out enlightenment and you're still sticking around though, like, have you really reached enlightenment?
If you don't disappear in front of me into like space dust and like fairies, you didn't do it.
Yeah. Full ascension. I expect to see you like skyrocket straight up to the heavens.
Absolutely. Just like on Pentecost. Wait, that was Pentecost. Just kidding. That was the day of ascension. Then 50 days later was Pentecost. I can remember my liturgical calendar.
Not me. That is one thing I do not know well. I'm like, if I don't subscribe to the I calendar, I don't know. I'm not going to know what's happening. So,
Your story, not mine.
Yeah, totally fine. Was born into what you could call a loosely Catholic home. And that lasted probably until like 8 or 9 years old. So not very long. And then my family moved to Florida, where God knows the Pentecostal lifestyle thrives.
Mm-hmm. Oh God.
And, so when we first got here, you know, my family really went on kind of a search for what they wanted. And it was this really strange transition as a kid because we were still going to like Catholic school on Monday nights, CCD. Mm-hmm. And where then on like,
the catechism, like, that's to get you ready for confirmation, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And my sisters had all done it. And so, you know, I was kind of like next in line. So I was still doing that. But then on Sunday mornings, we were going to this like quote unquote non-denominational church, mm-hmm. Which was secretly Pentecostal.
Always.
And so I had like these two worlds happening where on one side I was being told, you know, you have to talk to a priest and you have to do like this, that, and the other in order to become a true Catholic. And then on the other side, it was like, oh, you're already forgiven and Jesus loves you and you can talk directly to him. And, you know, so like as a kid, I was like, what's the truth? Like, mm-hmm. I get both.
Where is the truth?
Yeah, exactly. Still asking myself that every day. Mm-hmm. So eventually, I actually got kicked out of the Catholic like CCD thing because I was asking, you know, how come I have to talk to a priest, or like, why can't I just talk to Jesus myself? And they didn't like that. So it wasn't necessarily like kicked out so much as it was strongly encouraged that I stop asking questions.
Oh, that's horrible.
And so I was like, all right, well, I'm a kid. I'm going to ask questions. You know, why is your favorite word at that age?
Yeah.
So we eventually just started going full time to the non-denominational church, and my family got super involved. Over several years, we took the church from this tiny little, like one room, everything happens in the same room church, to this giant. We basically took over like the next two buildings and turned it into a full-on church. So we were there for like the build out. Me and my dad were on the praise and worship team. My mom ran like the kids' church. My sister. Also did children's church, but she was like dating the pastor's son. So we were like real involved, there probably 6 out of 7 days a week.
I know that.
And then when I hit my teens, I got more involved in the worship team. You know, I was doing like two Sunday services and a Wednesday service. And then occasionally I was also volunteering for two or three other churches at a time doing their praise and worship. So I basically at like 16, 17 years old was doing a full-time worship gig while, you know, normal high school student stuff.
Dang. I wish I had that. I wish somebody would have hired me for that.
Oh, it was not for pay. It was for thanks and how you doing. Like,
that's horrible. And that's also exploitation. You just, you listen, call them up. What's your reparation?
Excuse me. Some of that tithe belongs to me. I really loved it at the time, and it was an escape because, you know, it's school was not my favorite time. So 16, I was already well out of the closet to friends and mostly family. And then very shortly after to my entire family. So that was already happening at school, where I was starting to get like the bullying and the like figuring out who I was and being like the only openly gay kid in like this small podunk town in Central Florida.
Right.
And so church for me was kind of like an escape, which sounds kind of weird to most people.
No, but I totally get that.
But like to be in worship, whether we were in practice or like during actual service, for me, it was like me and God. It didn't matter who was there, who was looking. I was by myself in my own spirit. Then eventually, one of the churches that I was helping out with, I clearly distinctly remember this day. One of the pastors was like, "Hey, you know, your dad said that we could go get lunch after church. He's going to come with us. We're going to chit chat about some stuff." And my gay ass was like, "I know what that means. I'm going down." So,
secrets out.
Yep. Took me to a Wendy's, sat me down, compared my sexuality to his struggle with pornography. And his own like internal struggles that he had as a teen questioning sexuality. And he
gave... Okay, you know what? I've you're not the first person to tell me that like a straight pastor has told like, "Well, sometimes I felt a thing for a guy friend." I'm like, "Did you want to have sex with your best friend? Did you?"
Right, exactly. Did you do it?
Tell the truth. Did you think about it for more than 5 seconds? Did it keep you up at night? Did you fantasize?
Do you still think
about
it?
That's what I want to know. Come on, somebody.
Yeah, he didn't say what kind of pornography he was struggling with, just pornography. No descriptors.
Of course not. All sin under the eyes of God.
So,
right, continue speaking. But also, they broke it to you at a Wendy's.
So
classic. At least take me to like an Applebee's, a Ruby Tuesdays.
Nope. Come on. It was a Wendy's. And I remember sarcastically at one point, like, popping a whole chicken nugget in my mouth and just rolling my eyes, like, "Let me chew this chicken nugget before I say anything rude to you." Because I was a very outspoken, I wasn't your typical Central Florida raised kind of kid. Like, I was not taught to say yes sir, yes ma'am. It wasn't like that Southern energy in my household. Family's from New Jersey, New York. We certainly speak our minds.
So, real quick question. So, like, when at this point, you're out at school, you're out to your family. What was your like relationship like in your family around you being queer?
So they were super accepting. I say super accepting now because the older I get, the more stories I hear, the more I realize exactly how accepting they were.
Mm-hmm.
My story and my narrative was much different as a teen. And I think some of that came from like needing to fit into that. You know, my parents don't accept it. I'm a Christian queer and it's super difficult. And I really played into that a lot as a teen, which as an adult, I now realize it's a terrible thing to do. But they were very accepting. For a while, it wasn't that we didn't talk about it because it was something they disliked so much as it was we didn't really know how to have that conversation, especially because, you know, they saw me so involved in the church and they saw me so openly Christian and openly gay. And like,
you were an anomaly to them.
Yeah. I had a giant, I'm going to call it like a 3-foot cross painted on my wall as a teenager. And it said,
in your room, yep, in your bedroom?
On my bedroom wall, painted it myself. It said like, "I love Jesus Christ," real big on my wall, like a whole wall mural. Huge.
Oh my God.
So like, I was like, I only listened to worship music. I lived at church. I was openly gay. It was like this weird thing. And so when the church,
I'm like a delightful human. And I wish I would have known you.
Oh, thank you. You probably would have hated me. I was real sassy.
No, girl. Precocious was one word for me growing up.
Okay. Well then, yeah, we probably would have been best friends.
Yeah.
So it was probably weird because the church was telling them one thing and like I was telling them another. And like, who do you believe, the massive group of adults or like your 16-year-old kid? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that's probably a hard thing. So,
So you're at the Wendy's, you pop the chicken nugget in your mouth before you mouth off at him.
Yep. And I kind of just held it in. And I really thought to myself, like, your dad is sitting next to you. He clearly looked uncomfortable. I could tell that he was not having it, but was letting me make my own choice, my own decision. And I just very politely said, you know, I unfortunately am not going to be able to play on your worship team anymore. Like, just flat out gave him the answer. He continued to try to talk about it, and I just stayed silent. And it was really empowering to me to be able to look over at my dad and know that at such a young age, he was giving me that freedom of choice. And then from there, it really became this really hard fallout. Every other church I worked with, I constantly questioned, like, are you truly seeing me? Or do you only look at me and say, like, oh, that gay kid that we have to watch and monitor and censor? So my relationship with the church after that point, as strong as I tried to be, became really difficult.
Right.
I just didn't know who was judging me and who was truly accepting me, because no one would actually talk about it. There was no affirming voice saying, like, we're aware, we know who you are, we see you for who you are, and we love you for who you are. There was always this, well, you're a good piano player, or you have a good voice, or you're vital to the team, but there was never anything affirming. It was just, we need you kind of thing.
There's always such an interesting thing within, like, church culture, because, like, you're not the first gay guy on the worship team to, like, really pull that shit together, because we're always pulling that shit together.
Yes.
Like, it's in Pentecostal churches, and I think also, like, in black Baptist churches, like, that's definitely a thing. Like, it's like, oh, Mr. Such and Such, or like, Deacon Such and Such. Like, oh, you know, he's just in the spirit.
Mm-hmm. Because where, like, else are we going to go? I mean, naturally, I think we just gravitate towards the worship team. It's the thing to do.
Fun. And also, like, we're the only one qualified. As a homosexual, we are the only ones qualified to run that team.
Yeah. I mean, it's our birthright.
Yeah. Absolutely. So you stepped off the teams, and what was it like after that, as you began, like, you know, figuring out how to relate to faith now?
So after that is when I started looking at other spiritualities in general. I really took kind of a nosedive into theology books, not from a practicing standpoint, but just from a what else is out there. Because while I had a really personal connection to God and Jesus and, like, the Christian faith, I felt like there had to be something else, because there have been millions of other gay people out there that somehow find their way through life, and I couldn't imagine a life without spirituality, so I knew there had to be something.
Right.
So I took, like, a really book smart, logical way to trying to figure out spirituality, which didn't work. I did that for years, until eventually I kind of just gave up. Like, I buried my face in four jobs and trying to get through college. And
what did you study in college?
I studied the first semester of an AA multiple times. That's what I studied.
What is an AA? I'm sorry.
It's just like your general education. Redid my first semester over and over and over. Until I realized that education was not my thing. So eventually I decided that there was no reason I couldn't have, like, my own spiritual connection at home. So I just started doing, like, my own little Bible study and my own little prayer kind of routine, and tried to reestablish that connection after several years of, like, being on my own.
Right.
And it was actually at that time that I finally reheard the voice of the Holy Spirit for, like, the first time in a long time. And it showed me, it wasn't necessarily a voice so much as it was an image, the face of who is now my husband. And I was like, okay, don't know what that means, but sure, I'll reach out to him. Fast forward, right after that day, we had, like, our first date. We moved in together a few months later. I moved to Tampa. I, like, left everything that I knew behind, which I took as, like, a sign of, you just need to get out. Because, like I said, it's a very small town where I grew up. And so I didn't know the world. So that brought me to Tampa. A series of events happened, a series of jobs after job, which I now know were, like, divinely guided. And I finally ended up at a weight loss clinic. What? Where's the spiritual path going? Who knows?
Hey.
And after working there for a really long time, one day my boss was like, hey, I bought you a gift. Don't know if you're interested or what you believe in. I think it might be kind of off your game, but I'd really love for you to go see this person that I see. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, whatever. You paid for it. I don't have to pay for it. I'll do whatever you want. You pay my bills. So great. And she sent me to an angel therapy practitioner.
Interesting.
And I was like, okay, what is this? And I sat down, and that woman, Mary Jo is her name. Oh my gosh. I sat down on her couch. There was, like, twinkling music playing. And she said things to me that I had only ever heard in my own mind. She reminded me of like imaginary friends that I had as kids that she told me like, hey, those weren't imaginary friends. They look like this. Their name is this. They are actually spirit guides. Like, how do you know that, ma'am? I don't know you. That's weird. You don't know my family. She told me a lot about my spiritual path, about how she knew that I had been like strongly burned by the church and that it had like ripped me away from my connection to music. And it all came down to this one line where she basically told me, you were destined to help other people, to bring messages to other people to help them heal. And I was like, I've heard that thousands of times. I had been giving what I then called prophetic word in the church, mm-hmm. like every Sunday, calling people out, right? Sharing messages. Hey, yo, Holy Spirit has a message for you. Here it is. Now I refer to it a little differently, but yeah. So from that day forward, I dove headfirst into the diviner life. And I almost like within a month immediately started like my professional practice. So I studied, pushed myself to learn basic tarot and oracle card readings. And I did like half professional, half like freebie for your friends on the side. And that was 7 years ago. Now here I am.
And here you are. Damn, son.
That was a lot. I wasn't expecting to tell that whole story.
I know, but that's shit that I love, which is because like that is the stuff that dreams are made of, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Well, and what I love about your story so much is like it mirrors so much of my own. It's like, I think it's when we like, I think this happens for a lot of queer Christians, and I won't say it for all queer Christians because I know many who, you know, they find out that Jesus is cool with gay people, and then they don't like, they don't need to interrogate their faith any further. They feel comfortable where they're at, and like they don't go much beyond that, which is, you know, can be annoying in some ways, but I understand like some people like they just don't want to plumb the deeps, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But I think for like folks like you and I who it's almost just like we realize that like this one system that was handed to us isn't working mm-hmm. the way that we were told it was supposed to work. You know, we realize for some people it does, but then really when we hear God calling to us, it's like, oh God, you're not in these four walls under this steeple. You're somewhere out there.
Yeah.
And I think it's almost, sometimes I'm really thankful for like the way that like my relationship with the church ended, because if I had not, I mean like my relationship with the church hasn't ended obviously, but like the way that it went down the first time when I like left evangelical world, mm-hmm. it's like that set me down the path to start exploring all the other sorts of things and how I started getting into tarot myself and like alternative spirituality, because I feel God in it and I don't know how to explain it other than that. And it's like, how do you describe like being in a body, you know?
Yeah. I mean,
that's exactly how I feel about my connection to God is like, it just is.
Yeah. That cliche phrase of like a spiritual being living a human experience has mm-hmm. become more and more true to me every single day. Especially mm-hmm. when it comes to like, even just like little self-care, like when it does actually come to physical health and like taking care of the body, I mm-hmm. realize that when I do it as like a spiritual practice, when like taking yeah. a shower isn't just taking a shower, it's like also letting go of all that crap from your day and letting all that go down the drain. When you really view life on every level, spiritual, emotional, mental, physical, mm-hmm. whatever, it's totally mind-blowing. Like, why don't they talk about these things everywhere to everybody? Why was I not taught in the church like, yo, it's not just about preaching to people, it's not just about coming to church on Sunday, it's about every single thing you do being in connection with God. Like, that is probably the most amazing thing that I've learned in my journey is actually that's why I named my business The Diviner Life, because it's about like finding the divine in everything. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Yes,
I did. Did I go off on some weird tangent? I think I did, but
no. But this is where my conversations always go. Okay. So like, because that I think is like really nails it on the head. Is that like this whole point of us being here is to like, I mean, I honestly don't know the answer to that. If I'm being completely honest,
I was like, yes, I've been looking for this answer. I pulled out a pen. I'll write it down.
But like it's. I think one of the reasons that we're here is to to kind of just like figure out what it is. I don't know. Sometimes I was talking with a friend of mine. I'm just like, so if we all came from the divine or came from the source, like that means that there was a moment before existence that like we were in perfect unity with everything. Mm-hmm. And I feel like our lives as embodied creatures is to just figure out what it is to see God in ourselves, to see God in everything else, and how to just like live in that state of like, I know that I'm going to be reunited to this, to the source, to whatever divine union is. And, you know, I can still have that now. I think that's what, when Jesus was talking about life everlasting, like that's what he was talking about. Just like, you're connected to all of this.
Yeah. And I, one of the really big things that I emphasize, I feel like I talk about this all the time with clients, like somehow our readings always end up back on the same subject. And it's me reminding them, like, you don't have to re-find that connection. You're not trying to re-plug in. You've been plugged in like the whole time. Yes. You are always connected. It's not a matter of figuring it out how. It's a matter of like accepting it and just saying, I know that I'm connected. I know that I'm plugged in. I know that me and God and the divine are all one and the same thing. It's just a matter of realizing it more than it is trying to figure it out or trying to get back to that place. And every time I say that to someone, they're like, whoa, you mean it's not hard work? Like, I don't have homework to do? And I'm like, no, you just have to wake up every day and remember that you are a spiritual being, that you are connected to everything. Yes. When yes. you make that shift, oh my gosh, the whole world changes.
It really does. Like, I tell you what, and like nothing will liberate you more, and nothing will be able to like, I mean, yes, I am someone who's still prone to stress and worry and all those things, but just like when I can remember the truth, when I can remember that like nothing, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation can separate me from love, like that changes my perspective of how I approach everything, like whether it's like a relationship or whether it's a job opportunity or it's my own healing. It's like, I can't fuck this up.
You can't.
You know? You really can't.
I don't know why this story just popped in my head. Do you mind if I tell you a quick story?
Please, so, I want it.
Like I said before, my family and I, the gay thing was never really like a struggle, but we didn't talk about it a lot. So when we finally started talking about that, when my spirituality shifted and I was like, yo, guess what? I read tarot. We had like that same feeling again of like, well, we're not really going to talk about it. We love you. Do what you want to do, but we're not sure how to talk about it. So yeah. I never really brought it up. And I had been practicing like in my profession for years. And finally, one day I was really struggling. I was not getting answers from the cards. I was not getting answers from prayer about a job change. And something in me was like, ask your dad. And I was like, ask my dad for what? I can't be like, yo, ask God what I should do. But I did anyway. So I called my dad and I was like, weird question. When you have a minute, if you could just like pray about this and tell me what you hear. And he was like, what I hear? I was like, yeah, just tell me what you hear. And I was expecting like maybe a call back, maybe not. And it was maybe an hour later, he called me and said, so I just had to pull over on the way home because I prayed about it. And I couldn't like keep all the information in my head at once. And I don't know what happened, but I had to write it down. So I pulled over and I wrote it down. And I'm going to get back to you when I can sort through it. And I was like, yeah, made my dad chit-chat with the Holy Spirit. So when we finally did talk, his answer was exactly the same as the cards, as the prayer that I was getting back. It was, I'm giving you the answer of I'm not giving you an answer. It was like, you have to experience making this decision on your own. But either way, it will eventually lead you to being closer to me, meaning closer to God or to the Holy Spirit, source, universe, whatever. And
closer to self.
Yeah. And I was like, so you're saying that I could do A or B, but either way, I'm ending up in the same place? And he was like, yes, that is the answer. And I was like, ugh, of course that's the answer. And so now I think about that all the time when I'm like, you know, how do I get closer to God? Or how do I get closer to what I'm supposed to be doing next? And all the time I hear that same message over and over, like, no matter what, you're going to get there. So just enjoy the ride. Do what you're going to do. Get there as comfortably as you possibly can. Just show up. And I was like, ugh, okay, fine. Just, I'll get there eventually.
Yeah. And that's, I think there's so, like, there's this fear that we have about messing up and this fear we have about being wrong. Like, what if I didn't hear it correctly? Or what if I'm not doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing? Or what if I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing? And I think that what how you explain it is exactly correct. I'm just like, whatever you do, like, be there.
Yeah.
Whatever you, like, desire, you can go after that if you want to. Because, yeah, you might fail, and then you can do something else when you're done.
Exactly. You might end up in a totally different place, but that doesn't mean you ended up in the wrong place. You just ended up where you're supposed to be.
Yeah. And if it's not where you're supposed to be, you can go somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the thing. Is like, there's, like, again, there's no way to fuck this up. I think there's all – I think I was a very fearful person for a long time because it was constantly, you know, money, job, you know, who is going to have sex with me, et cetera, et cetera. But now it's like I feel – and I think this is a complete product of, like, having to come out and going through, like, the spiritual transformation and evolution that is still evolving. And it's just the sense of just, like, we really don't have control over tomorrow.
Yeah.
And we really, like, and I know that's such a cliche thing to say, but the truth of the matter is just, like, I think it was my dad's death that really sobered me up to the fact that I am mortal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that this body is eventually going to expire.
Memento mori.
Yeah. Come on, somebody. And I just keep thinking, like, my dad died at 59 years old from pancreatic cancer.
I'm sorry.
And I'm thinking, what if I only have 59 years? That means I got 30 years to get my shit done. And everything after, like, and I don't know why, like, it's just, like, stuck in my head. If I keep thinking, like, if I live past 59, I'm doing okay. Which is so fucked up.
If you live past today, you're doing okay.
Hey, that's the word.
If you
right
think
there.
About the, I'm just gonna fangirl for a minute here. If you think about the amazing things that you have already done by 30, like, girl, you've done enough. You've done above and beyond. You've done extra. You did the damn thing. Good for you. You want to retire now? You retire now. I'm just saying, Kevin Garcia has done enough. Everything beyond here is extra credit.
Girl, don't make me cry right now.
I'm just saying, it's true.
Thank you for saying
you're
that.
You're welcome. I mean, because, like, you're welcome.
Yeah. I'm just going to receive that. I'm not going to try and refute that. I'm not going to try and rebut that because my mama always told me that when people are saying things about you, you just say thank you. It's not your business to say otherwise.
Okay. I always tell people just accept the gift.
Yeah. That's exactly it.
Say, oh, well, no, just accept the gift.
Yep. I was telling somebody else that last night. I'm just like, I think you're cute. They're like, oh, I'm not that cute. I'm just like, excuse me? Are you telling me that I'm
this
wrong?
This was not a discussion.
Yeah. So when you're working, let me just shift gears for just a second.
Yeah.
Like, when working with, oracle readings and tarot cards and, like, working with your clients, I think, you know, whenever I, like, read tarot for people, I'm usually, for some reason, I'm a lot of people's first time tarot card reading.
Mm.
And they don't really know what to expect. And it ends up a lot of times, like, I think, like, it's meaningful, but it's not, like, as, like, ookie spooky as people think it's
yes.
going to be. Like, people are always thinking it's, like, there's going to be, like, shit moving around and, like, spirits rolling up in the room.
Lights are going to flicker. Your dead Aunt Carol's going to show up and say, I know what you did.
Yeah. And then turns out it's actually your great uncle Steve. And he's like, hey, did you give your mom that $20 I told you to give her back? For
ugh.
And then you feel really guilty and your mom's in the room is really awkward. That's what happened during my tarot sessions. Just no, but like, I was like, I'm wondering just like for you, like, you know, when you're giving tarot card readings, like, what's, you know, your general feel? Like, what's your method? Do you have a method? Do you have any rituals you do? I don't know. I'm just curious as to like what your practice looks like.
Those are all really good questions. I think when I talk to other tarot readers, they always tell me basically like you do it wrong. And I'm like, okay, well, it's working for me.
I probably do it wrong too, to be honest.
I do not follow the book. And I think part of that is because I spent so long following other people's garbage rules in my spirituality, like I'm over it. I don't need you to tell me how to do it. So when I sit down for reading, I flat out tell people, hey, just so you know, this is going to be like real talk. I'm going to give you homework. It is like, I just do like rough, hard truth most of the time. Mm-hmm. I don't fill it with what most of my clients end up calling like the woo-woo stuff. I don't I don't try and make it like this over-the-top fortune teller psychic booth thing.
Yes,
same. I'm just like real talk advice. You came to me because you need healing or assistance or a message, and like I'm just going to tell it like it is. So I don't really follow any specific spreads. I don't really always ask questions. Sometimes I just shuffle and like I pull cards till I think I'm done, and then I just talk. And I know that kind of sounds messy, but it really is organic, and I never really know what's going to happen. But I do always start with an invitation and a thank you to spirit, usually as a prayer. And I just say like, thanks for being here. Thanks for showing up. I'm listening. It's very casual. I talk to spirit like it's my best friend. And then I always tell people, I don't really look at the cards, if I'm honest. I kind of use them as a distraction to my physical body while my spirit takes over.
You're not the first person to say this to me. Like, one of my other tarot friends is the same exact thing.
It's exactly what it is. It's like my eyes and my body needs to be distracted by something, because otherwise I'm going to be way too – I'm easily distracted, shiny objects, ooh, what's that kind of person. And for me, it comes as downloads. It's like instant information. So I don't hear things or see things often. Does happen sometimes, but sometimes I have to tell a client, ooh, give me a minute. I got to sort through this package that just like landed in my mind. Give me a minute while I unfold it, because it's a lot of stuff. And then from there, I usually make sure that I give people like applicable work to do, because I don't think that just hearing the information holds them accountable. And I don't want my clients walking away from me at any time being like, oh, well, yeah, he told me this would happen and whatever, we'll see how it goes. I flat out tell people, you have work to do. Here's what you got to do. I'm going to check in on you, like follow up and say, did you do this? Did you do this? Until you do it. Because you hired the right person. You're welcome.
Yeah. You are a spiritual coach. That's
I really make sure that the coach part stands out. I don't, I feel way too responsible otherwise.
Well, I would also, I would argue that that is pastoral care, my dear.
Sure. Call it what you want.
You know, and whatever, I mean, that's what we call it over here in Presbyterian land. That's at least what my Presbyterian friends call it. I ain't a Presbyterian, though, because I don't want to study two languages in school.
Ooh. Yeah, I'm...
That's honestly, that's literally what it comes down to for me, which is super shallow, but, like, I know myself.
I struggle with English, so...
I mean, come on, somebody. I'm taking Hebrew next fall. Shit's gonna eat me alive.
Good luck. I actually almost went to school for English literature, hence the reason I only made it through my first semester multiple times. I was like, nope.
Yes.
Apparently I don't like English as much as I thought.
Yeah, it's a rough life.
Yeah.
What I love about like your process, it's very similar to mine, is that I have the cards and I know like the meanings and whatnot, but a lot of times it is the same thing you said. It's like, I'll set these cards out. I'll pull extra cards if I feel like I should. But a lot of times it is that sense of just like almost like, you know, like growing up, I too got the prophetic words, and I was like, I would get like the dreams and I would get the pictures for people and I would be scary on point. And then when I started reading cards for people, like I would lay them out. I was like, well, this is supposed to mean this, but like what I'm hearing is like, you know, you're having a problem with your business partner and you're very close to them. I said, Is it like a spouse or a sibling or something? And they're just like, oh, it's my brother-in-law. I'm like, okay. You know, it's one of those things where it happens so similar to me. And like, I don't see it any different from asking for somebody for a prophetic word or asking somebody to like, you know, just let me know if like, you know, God whispers anything in your ear. Like, that's like something that we would say all the time in Pentecostal land. But like you, people, you know, like it's first of all, that... I think the whole practice of prophetic words within the Pentecostal tradition is like so witchy. And
I mean, what isn't witchy? Words, once you get into Pentecostal land, they're all witches. Oh, let's just be honest.
Absolutely, they're literally like add a pentacle in there, and they could be get real witchy. But yeah, it's so comforting to meet somebody who I feel like has had like a similar experience to myself, because I feel like. I won't say that it's rare, but I think that there's a lot of folks that are still kind of like in the closet, so to speak, of expanding spirituality or like their own faith, like evolving into like different things and different metaphors and different practices.
Yeah, I mean, it's a struggle. It's funny that you said the word witch just now, because it wasn't until maybe a few months ago that I actually didn't cringe when somebody called me a witch or referred to what I do as like some form of magic. Because like I was still dealing with that internalized fear of like, that means I'm gonna burn. Like my physical body's gonna burn, my soul's gonna burn, like don't call me a witch. And then I found so many people on social media, which is honestly the best place for anybody going through like similar paths, where I found like hashtag Christian witch, and I was like, oh my gosh, is this a thing? First I did like learned gay Christian, and now like there's a thing called a Christian witch. I'm like, it's just so interesting to me. Like every day I discover something new that I didn't realize that I internalized, but
yeah, there's so much, like even like there's like so much, like as queer folks, especially like queer folks who grew up in conservative Southland, like we're all, it's always something new. Like me and my therapist, we got
plenty to talk
always
about.
Always something to chat about. What's so funny is that like I hit the jackpot with my therapist because she is also a queer Christian woman.
Ooh.
Married.
Give me her number.
And on top of that, she's also a witch, and she is also non-monogamous. And I'm just like, wow, you really are like hitting all of my marks right now.
That must be so amazing, because you probably feel just so heard, like you don't have to explain yourself constantly, which is the most tiring part of like meeting somebody new or getting intimate with somebody is
having to break all those different
so many closets.
I think right, and I think there's like a part of like where I've come to now in my own spiritual journey where I realize like I've got nothing to lose anymore, you know, like I feel like when I like I left, you know, the evangelical church, I lost everything that was I thought was my life, and then turns out when you lose it you get to find it again. But like in ways you never expected, better ways when you actually are trying to follow spirit.
I think the biggest thing, I don't know why, what you just said something that to me was like, oh my gosh, that's it. That's the thing. When you said you don't have anything left to lose, I think the journey that you take as a queer person in the church or in any non-affirming or comforting group is that you know what it's like to really lose yourself. So like for me, that's exactly what it is. It's like at some point you basically say, fuck it, because it's like I've already known what it's like to lose myself and I'm not doing that again. So when you compare everything else to who you truly are, you're like, this or myself, I'm sticking with myself because it took me a long time to get back to that. So
that was my conversation with Michael Anthony. You can connect with him over across the internet at The Diviner Life, at thedivinerlife.com. And if you ever want to schedule a session with him, you can do that through his website. He's an incredibly gifted reader, so I would definitely suggest it. Michael, thank you so much for sitting down and getting weird with me on the internet. It was so much fun. Can't wait to talk again soon. A Tiny Revolution is supported by 140 people on Patreon. And if you don't know what Patreon is, you're probably not somebody who sticks from the podcast world, so let me enlighten you real quick. It's the easiest way for you to support the creatives in your life that are making the content that matters. So if you liked this in any capacity whatsoever, if this was good for you, and you think, hey, we need more podcasts out there, more videos about being queer and Christian and queer and spiritual and all these bigger and better conversations, you're the one who's making it possible, because honestly, this shit ain't free. You know, I'm paying my bills and it takes hours to put together and there's production costs, etc., etc., etc. So if you want to be the kind of person who makes these things possible, please go over to patreon.com/thekevingarcia and learn what it is to become a sustaining partner today. There's already 140 people who think it's pretty dope. So, you know, go find out what they know. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I love you. So thank you to y'all who are supporting thus far, and thank you for joining me again and all the other really cool shit that I get to do, because you make it possible. It's amazing. I am beyond hashtag blessed. I think that's all the things I have got to say. Oh, yeah. Remember, if you are somebody out there who needs therapy, you need to check out BetterHelp, the online platform that connects you with thousands of licensed professional mental health homies who can help you get to where you need to be. You can go check out the link in the description, the show notes, to figure out how you can start online therapy today. And I think that's everything from me. Yeah, so until next time, my love, my beloved. Oh, there's always this part that I forget. Rate us. If you are listening to this anywhere else, subscribe in Spotify or on iTunes or Stitcher, wherever you're listening to this podcast. Share it with some friends, because honestly, word of mouth is the best way for podcasts to spread. Post this podcast to Facebook. Tell your mother about it if your mother's looking to get into better podcasts. And then also, rate us. Leaving a rating and a review is the easiest way for us to continue to grow our presence in the Apple iTunes. Is it iTunes anymore? Did iTunes die or something like that? In the comments below, let me know. Did iTunes die? I don't remember. Anyways, check me out across the internet at The Kevin Garcia. Check me out on the YouTubes. I'll be back probably early next week with another podcast and some really exciting information about episode 98 and 99. So, are you ready for something different and fun? I should stop. Anyways, I love you. Thank you for listening. Until next time, make sure you call your therapist, drink some water, move your body, eat something delicious, take a nice hot bath, put some rose petals in there, some essential oils, you know what I'm saying? Bring your crystals next in there, put on some incense, and then you know what? Put on some Schitt's Creek on your iPad or your laptop or whatever you are in your bathroom, and laugh your ass off with a glass of wine while you're soaking, because you know what, babe? You deserve it. You really deserve it. Anyways, this has been another episode of another... Hold on. Let me try it again. This has been another episode of A Tiny Revolution. My name is Kevin Garcia. I can't wait to talk to you next time, baby. Bye.